We are in Exodus chapter 7, and we're going to pick it up in verse 8. If you're a guest here, we've been going through the book of Exodus, Old Testament, here on Wednesday nights. And as I often say, we do a lot of different things on Wednesdays. We started now impact studies just last week, and started 1 Peter. I enjoyed that. I went and stole Ryan O'Gara's Bible study. And I just had to save those people. So I'm kind of be able to move around, and I'll steal somebody else's next month, and kind of move around and get a chance for me to kind of smooth with all of you in a small group scenario. So if you haven't got an assignment, you know, where you're supposed to be, or you want to be a part of a small group impact study, first Sunday or first Wednesday of every month, we have those studies. So just call the office here. We'll get you assigned. But here on Wednesdays, we've been doing that impact studies. We've been going through Exodus. We've been doing the Truth Project and video. There's juggling contests occasionally. No, there's no juggling. We're beginning in verse 8 of chapter 7 of the book of Exodus. And we're basically picking up right here at the beginning of Moses dealing with Pharaoh before he really starts the plagues. This is this first real hand of God being manifested there through Aaron, through Moses. And I realize you're thinking, how could anything good come out of the hand of somebody called Aaron? We don't know. But in those days, it was a reality. Let's pick it up. Verse 8 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Pharaoh will demand that you show him a miracle to prove that God has sent you. So when he makes this demand, say to Aaron, throw down your shepherd's staff.'" I love that. Throw down, Aaron. "It will become a snake." So Moses and Aaron, he went to see Pharaoh, and they performed the miracle just as the Lord had told them. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his cord, and it became a snake. Then Pharaoh called in his wise men and magicians, and they did the same thing with their secret arts. Their staffs became snakes too, but then Aaron's snake swallowed up their snakes. Way to go, Aaron. Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard and stubborn. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. Now, I would begin with this thought. I think oftentimes we think that when we are challenged by God to obey, that oftentimes we want or are tempted to exercise a little compromise. Because we think that full obedience is costly, but we also hold full obedience in this high concept. We'll think, well, full obedience, you know, if I have full obedience to God, I will be free from adversity. And let me make something clear here tonight. Nothing could be further from the truth. I wouldn't want you to ever think that if you are fully obedient to God, your life's not going to have any problems. You're just going to be free from all adversity. Because oftentimes, to obey God, it's a difficult choice to obey God, but it's also just as difficult to actually move in that obedience once we make that decision. Now, that's not a big issue, but I felt that it was important to understand that, to look at the situation that we're reading here and see that Moses, despite any apprehensions, he stepped up and he really did the right thing, fully and 100%. But despite that, there still was a lot of adversity going to come down on him. And I think often we get into this, and as soon as we get into some adversity in our obedience to God, we kind of freak out. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, I must be on the wrong road. This must not be what God wants me to do, because this is hard. Part of maturing in Christ, part of growing up, is the realization that Christianity is not easy. That's important. I realize some people will tell you that that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be this little fluffy, you know, cloud, cotton candy kind of thing, and we just all feel good about it. But that's not the reality. Read the book of Acts. It's war. Now, in this passage as we read it here, we also don't want to misunderstand what's happening here. I mean, this isn't a contest. I mean, this isn't an arm wrestling contest between, you know, Moses and Pharaoh, and, you know, I'm bigger and badder than you, and we're just going to have this little bit of a contest going on right there. The outcome was never in question. I'm not a fatalist. I'm not so Calvinistically bent that I just think, well, you know, what's the point of even praying? And, you know, because what will be, will be. But let me tell you something. I am of the mindset that all of history before God has been written. I mean, I wouldn't want you to get the idea that somehow that God is surprised. I mean, we read a story like this. God isn't surprised with what was transpiring here. What God wants from us is obedience. And with that obedience, He's able to accomplish His will and His plan. He doesn't need you. He needs your obedience. He doesn't need me. He seeks my obedience. Because another one of those great epiphanies in our Christian life is when it comes to those great things of God, those things He's asking you to step up to, like Moses, if you don't step up, He'll just get someone else. I've seen it even in the history of this church through the years. Somebody's like, you know what? I ain't doing that. And they just step off and somebody else steps up and they just shine because that's God's plan. What He's looking for is obedience in this. And again, never surprised. So Aaron here, he was told, look, I want you to go in there and I want you to cast your staff down. And the staff's going to be turned into a serpent. Now, don't get caught up with the Hollywood of this. I think we can look at this and we kind of come from a generation of a lot of sci-fi, a lot of special effects. I mean, went to see a sci-fi the other day. You know, you just can't even believe it. It's not even in real. It's that whole Dream movie. You guys see that one? What's that called? Wasn't that a fine piece of work? Yes, it was. Yes. Yes, you have to have your wits about you. Do not go if you're tired. You're going to be like, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. You know. But anyway, you know, lots of sci-fi, lots of special effects. And I think we live in that generation, and we can kind of read a story like this, and we can kind of, without a conscience, just kind of realize, oh, yeah, and throw down the staff, and it turns into a snake. No, I want you to understand something. Moses threw down his stick, and it turned into a snake. That's not a story, man. That really happened. Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. Noah made a big boat, put two of the animals in there and floated around until all the water left again. These are not stories. This is history. I know a lot of us, we like to, you know, receive the Bible, but we had to look at them big things and like, wow, you know, that's just kind of fiction. That's just an embellishment for Scripture. And many of us look at creation that way. And I've always looked at the fact that, and I've shared this with you before, you say, oh, I don't know, God made, you know, heavens and the earth in 6 days. I don't know if I can buy that. Are you kidding? He could have whipped this up in a day. He created things with a word. How would you like to just walk around and go, trees, and, you know, there's fish, and fish are jumping? That would be an awesome day, wouldn't it? Speaking of a dream, that'd be kind of going on. But that's what was happening. He was creating with a word. This really happened. Moses threw this down. So he says, go down, or Aaron did. He says, go down, throw this down, and it's going to turn into a serpent. And then, mind you, totally known by God before the fact, he said the magicians would come. These are the black arts guys who would hang around with Pharaoh. They would come, they would throw down their staffs, and they would turn them into snakes also. But I love this. Ultimately, Aaron's snake would swallow the magic men's snakes. And the reason why that is, I think, guys, is because a copy is not the same as the real thing. We need to realize that. I don't want to chase this, you know, further than it deserves. But on the other hand, I think we need to look at this passage and realize that there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of organizations, especially as we march forward to the end days, that is going to be able to falsify, to recreate a lot of the things of God, but they are still just a clone. It is just a facsimile of the real thing. just because it looks like it doesn't mean it's the real thing. And we're kind of living in that generation now. I think it's very, very important that as we live in this generation that we live in, that knowing that there's going to be those who will go around and they will mimic the miraculous hand of God, that we need to be very careful and very prayerful as a church, as individuals. Very careful as individuals that we need to be able to take a step back and really be sure that the truth is where their church stands, where their doctrine stands, where their relationships stand, where all the foundations of their life is. Because for many of us, you know, a shadow is enough. An illusion is enough. A facsimile is enough. And we don't really go and make sure that what we're standing on is the real thing. I think, again, many are going to go about attempting to mimic this miraculous hand of God, and they're going to do lots of tricks. The Antichrist definitely will be one when we close up this chapter of man's history and move on to the next. One of the things about how to know what is real and what is fake is God's real work endures. God's real work ultimately swallows up the facsimile, the fake fold. This facsimile ends up exposing themselves in their true colors, and endurance is enormous. Truth never changes, says the Bible, day after day, week after week, year after year. So it's very important. Is there some history behind it? Because truly, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, going on in this, I mean, I want you to notice, too, that despite witnessing a very, very powerful work of God, a very, very incredible miracle here, I think it's really interesting to note that Pharaoh still refused to listen. Once again, we talked about on Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of John and recently dealt with the resurrection of Lazarus, with Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life again, you know. And I made the comment then, you know, dude, if somebody brings somebody back alive right in front of me, oh, hey, man, you know, I'm kind of like in. I mean, Lazarus was dead for 3 days. He's in that grave. And Jesus brought him back. Same thing. I mean, I'm not going to believe every little trick. But I tell you, somebody who's going to be able to, you know, with the hand of word of God, throw down a staff and turn it into a snake, I might tend to pay attention. So this is just miracle one when it comes to Pharaoh, and already he's not listening. It's not that the truth was somehow unavailable to Pharaoh. It's not that he hadn't seen clearly what was going on. He had already seen this in Moses' life, in Aaron's life, not just the miraculous, but even the words that they were saying. The problem wasn't with Pharaoh's ears, and as we go through this story in the weeks to come, it's very important for us to understand that. It wasn't somehow that Pharaoh didn't understand. Many of us, we want to cop that attitude. Yeah, I don't get it. What's going on? What's going on here? You know what? It's not that you don't understand. It's not that you don't hear. It has to do with your heart. Pharaoh had hardened his heart. That's what wasn't hearing, not his ears. And we see that because I also mentioned to you recently that when it comes to a hard heart, it doesn't stay static. No one goes, yeah, I just got a little bit of a hard heart. And I've had this little hard heart for, you know, weeks and months and years. I don't know, I look in the Bible and I find anyone who started with a hard heart, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse, and it ultimately ended up destroying them, unless they repented. So Pharaoh grew more and more stubborn. He grew harder all the time. Even in the midst of the manifest of God. I've seen people actually planted in fellowships that were just, I mean, electrified with the presence and the manifest of God. Yet they were standing there going, I don't get it. I'm not learning. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. And it never occurs to them, everybody else around them is growing and maturing and blossoming. But they're not. It's because your heart is hard. Pharaoh's heart was hard. And the fact is, we're going to see this, that I think this describes many of us even today. It's not that we don't hear. It's not that we can't see the truth or hear the truth. We just refuse the truth. We reject the truth so oftentimes. And again, we want the facsimile. We trade it in exchange for a lie. Romans 1:25 speaks of this. It talks about folks who were led by their flesh. It says they changed the truth of God into a lie. It didn't become a lie. They changed the truth into a lie. We can do that. We easily do that. And the fact is, even tonight, many of us prefer a lie to the actual truth. Now, eventually, Pharaoh's sin is going to go public, right? I mean, it's going to really be hard. You know, frogs, stars falling out of the sky, water turning to blood, all this crazy stuff going on. This is very, very hard to keep secret. So now Pharaoh's sin is going to go public, and his sin, his hard heart is going to hurt a lot of people. We need to be reminded on a very consistent basis that there's not a one of us that's an island. When we harden our heart, when we reject the truth, when we even go out and overtly sin, we need to realize that we touch other lives and we can do damage to those lives. Those might be your kids. Those might be your friends. Might be your neighbor, whoever it might be. But we touch those lives for the pro or for the con, and we have an effect on that, so we are ministering in one way or another. You're either ministering for good or you're ministering for bad. The question is what are you passing on? And I do promise you one thing, God says we will be accountable for this. The lives that we touch. Let me ask you something today. What is your life saying to those around you? Are you bitter? Are you angry? Are you divisive? Do you cheat the Lord but call yourself a Christian? I mean, understand, if you are around people and they think or believe that you are a Christian, you may be the only Jesus they ever see. Isn't that scary? And I think that you all understand that that's my role. I mean, everyone goes, well, yeah, of course, you know, pastor, some people, they understand that you're representing Jesus. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this room is representing Jesus. Is it a good representation or is it, again, just a facsimile? Just a clone, so to speak. Pharaoh, he wouldn't be the last person that gets into these kind of troubles. I mean, Paul warned us to his letters to Pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:5 says, these people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt and they don't tell the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8 says, and these teachers fight the truth. And here is a reflection back to this story. These teachers fight the truth just as Jannes and Jambres. These are the magicians that threw down with Moses here. Jannes and Jambres fought against Moses. Their minds are depraved and their faith is counterfeit. That doesn't say they don't have faith. It says their faith is counterfeit. Very important to know where we stand. Let's go on in our text. Verse 14. One verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh is very stubborn and he continues to refuse to let the people go. You know, I find it interesting that God doesn't just surrender here. Do you ever notice that God doesn't give up? Not on you and I. Not on the human race. God loves man too much to ever give up. And he's not only the God of grace, but the Bible tells us that his grace is forever enduring. And isn't that fact? I can't imagine being able to see all the wickedness that's going on around the world at any given time. You all know, I've said this before, I can hardly stand to read the newspaper. When it comes to newspapers, there's a sadistic streak in me. Masochist. I just want to beat myself. I read the newspaper and it's like, why did I do that? It's like eating an entire pizza. I shouldn't have done that. I read an entire newspaper and go, I'll never do that again. Not till tomorrow when I crave another newspaper. And you read it, and to know every thought, every wicked sin, everything that goes on around the world at any given time. And yet God doesn't just say, that's it. I can't take it anymore. And you know, pull the lever and slide down. Did you guys read about the air steward? Yeah, you guys have to look it up in the newspaper. And he just freaked out. And if you ever fly much like I do, you can understand that. You know, he just lost it. So, but I mean, sometimes you wonder why God doesn't just, you know, get on the microphone and scream and yell at everybody and pull the lever, slide down the ramp and run across the tarmac, which is what this guy did. Certainly I feel like that, just knowing what I know. I think it's wonderful to know that God's grace is so continual. Let me tell you something. If you've abandoned ship, so to speak, when it comes to Christ, you need to know tonight that the game's still on. Don't ever let the devil tell you that it's over or you're finished. You can't come home. That's a lie. You just need to, if you hear that, just check your pulse. Yeah, still beating? Okay, you're still in the game. Now, you reach down and you ain't got a pulse. Yeah, it's probably over. Your game's over. But if you got a pulse, you're still in the game. You can come home. And no, you cannot out-sin the cross of Christ. You say, yes, but I've done this so many times. Yeah? And he'll take you one more. You say, yes, but how many is too much? Never. Never. He'll always take you back. That's not the problem. Usually somewhere along the way, people stop coming back. So it really takes care of itself. But God's grace is absolutely incredible. And you look at the situation, and even Pharaoh, I mean, he could have just lightning strike, just nuked him on the spot, but he doesn't do it. Numbers 14:18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy." That's the God we have. And none of the false religions out there can even claim to have this. Our ultimate fall, if we have one, our ultimate failure, our end of life judgment and condemnation, if you will, if you get all the way to the end of life in that kind of a situation, let me make it clear to you tonight, it's no one's fault but your own. Because the reality is, you got to work really, really hard to get to hell. People, you know, kind of run around paranoid. I hope I didn't mess up. Oh, I had a bad thought. You think I'm bound for hell now? Take a deep breath, dude. You cannot undo the cross of Christ. You have to work to get to hell. You got to reject God. You got to turn away from Him and say no, 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 just like Pharaoh over and over again. But I do warn you, remember, we'll get along in the story here, and along the way, the story changes because it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then somewhere along the way it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, wait a minute, flags are up, you know, antennas, what is that all about? That is God confirming your decision. That is the continual rejection of God till finally he just says, oh, okay, you don't want me? Fine, I'm out of here. The Bible speaks of it as the unpardonable sin. I don't know that you know it's the unpardonable sin, because at that point you don't really care. Let me tell you, it takes a lifetime of plugging your spiritual ears, a lifetime of steeling yourself against the antennas, the reception from God. Yes, Lord? I think Moses already, this early in the game, I think he already had every reason to feel defeated. Anybody who's been in ministry, and I know many of you guys here are in ministry, from time to time there's plenty of reasons to feel defeated. To feel what's going on. I think Moses really had a chance here, a good reason to feel defeated. I mean, even God is telling Moses, he's not going to listen. Well, that's the point. You start to feel like Jeremiah. You know, he's not, forget it, that no one's ever going to listen. What's the point? But hey, I think you need to always remember, when you're in those situations, take a step back. God is always killing two birds with one stone, so to speak. I mean, one of the things that Moses may, I hope he did, but he may not have entertained here. This little movie that's going on here, this isn't just about Pharaoh. It's also about Moses. So when things like that are going on, it isn't just about them. It's about you. It's not just about them. It's about us in our church. Who we are. Where we're going. What our hearts are going to be. And that's good. That's a good thing to happen. And so Moses also was in a situation where God was pulling and drawing him into a greater discipleship. And that's going to happen with each and every one of us. You're going to go through difficult times. You're going to go through times where you feel defeated and challenged. And you feel like, I don't understand what's going on. I have been obedient to you, God. What's happening here, man? I mean, this isn't the way it's supposed to happen. And you never stop and realize, maybe, just maybe, God is trying to stretch you and make you trust in Him. Because, you know what? For Moses, let me tell you something. Things are going to get worse before they get better. It's been said that it takes more faith to go backward with God than to go forward with God. When you don't know where you're going, and you don't know what's happening, are you going to trust Him even in those situations? Verse 15 says, so go to Pharaoh. This is God speaking. So go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes down to the river. Stand on the river bank and meet him there. That's a bad way for a Pharaoh to start the day. Be sure to take along the shepherd's staff that turned into a snake. Okay, Lord. Say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has sent me to say, let my people go so they can worship me in the wilderness. Until now, you have refused to listen to him. Now the Lord said, you're going to find out that I am the Lord. Let me read that again. You're going to find out that I am the Lord. Look, I'll hit the water of the Nile with a staff, and the river will turn to blood. The fish in it will die. The river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink any water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron to point his staff towards the waters of Egypt, all its rivers, canals, marshes, and reservoirs. Everywhere in Egypt, the water will turn to blood, even the water stored in wooden bowls and stone pots in the people's houses. Impressive. Impressive miracle there. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. And as Pharaoh and all of his officials watched Moses raise his staff, hit the water of the Nile, suddenly the whole river turned to blood. The fish in the river died. The water became so foul the Egyptians couldn't drink it. We can relate to that here in Menominee. There was blood everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. Ours turns green, but it smells the same. So I want you to notice the message here. The situation has changed, but the command of God towards Pharaoh has not changed. Now, I bet some of you can relate to this. Tick tock, the days and the years go by, but that call of God is still the same message over and over. Because let me tell you something, God doesn't compromise. He's not going to cut you any slack. Well, if I just can't, I'll negotiate. You know, He wants to send me to Africa to be a missionary, but let's see if I can't, you know, like work out, you know, like Maine or something, you know, one of the coasts. See, I'll go halfway. God isn't going to compromise with you. And we want to do that, don't we? We want to take the commands of God and try to meet him halfway. I'll tell you what, Lord, I'll meet you halfway. Okay, I'll do this much, okay, and then that'll be all right. You'll love me, you know, that much more then, right? You see, it's God's way, period, Christian. Now, if you're a parent, you understand that, right? I mean, it's kind of dangerous to start negotiating with your three-year-old, right? Moses here, he, in the weeks to come, would start to sound like a broken record to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. And Moses, indeed, as I said before, he would be tested. But God would prove and he would manifest himself over time. At this point, Moses did not know how this was all really going to turn out. But he would be tested, and it's mandatory. Because remember, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. Going to have to believe. He's going to have to trust. Moses would have to endure on that trust for a while. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm not going to cut you any slack tonight either, because God expects you. I expect you, as 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, to stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. And I know sometimes you think, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. You don't understand what's going on in my life, Tim. You don't have any idea the weight that I'm carrying. And you know what? I may not know that. But God also says that he'll never put you through anything that you can't endure. Like the old King James says, quit ye like men. Which in our vernacular says, be a man. You know, we are so short on real men these days. I'm dead serious. I know that sounds funny, but I mean, men have grown weak, soft. They don't lead anymore. They don't stand up. They just kind of just float around. Yeah, it's sort of like that cartoon we put in the newsletter with the sheep all following each other off the cliff, and the lion goes, maybe we didn't think this thing through. We become a bunch of sheep. We're just following each other around instead of being a man and standing on the word of God according to what the Lord has called us to. Moses was called to stand up and be a man. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What's that? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's a great verse. Moses did indeed obey God, and he did more than that. I want you to notice, he obeyed God exactly, totally. He wasn't dabbling. He wasn't trying to cut a deal here with God. He didn't make up his own rules. He didn't get creative with the delivery of God's will. We get very creative with that, don't we? He didn't give it the halfway attempt, or he didn't try partial obedience. He didn't try to change what God said. We've talked about this before. So many in our generation say, well, I believe this or I don't believe that. And that's kind of the last word. That's the throwdown. That's the baseline. It's not the word of God. It's what I believe. No. We're supposed to believe what the word of God says. We're supposed to not believe what the word of God says to not believe. But we run everything through our sieve of experience and through our ideas and our beliefs. It's happening all over. Now, you guys know that I'm not one of these crazy political people who get off and start signing petitions and running off about, you know, the sanctity of marriage and all this stuff. And do I think that, you know, it should be a man and a woman? Well, yes, of course. Do I go off on that? No, I don't think that that's my place. I don't think that's our place. Okay. But it is interesting how we're rewriting things. It doesn't really matter what the Bible says. My experience and what I believe is this. So, you know, it doesn't really matter what the Bible says.
Ooh, that's slippery slope. Slippery slope. Pretty soon you can do whatever the heck you want because the Bible doesn't hold any clout at all anymore. This has worked really well for several thousand years. I think I'm going to stick with this considering the alternative that it's not good. I'm going to go with this. I only get one shot. I'm going to choose to go with the Word of God. But Moses obeyed and he obeyed all the way. He obeyed exactly. One more comment about being strong here in his obedience. Joshua 1:7-9, and I'll read it to you. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you?" Again, "Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." It's a very powerful passage. Now, I don't want to beat this point, but I think it's important for us tonight. The Bible is full of examples of people who have obeyed God. They just didn't obey God completely. Oh, this church is full of them, including the one sitting up here. Balaam. Y'all remember that story? That was hilarious. That push and shove, pulling. It was crazy. Jonah, when he finally got out of the fish, and was like, "All right, I'm going to go to the Nineveh and I'll tell them what you want me to do." You know, and then he went and sat. He's all mad on the edge of town. He obeyed God. He just didn't obey God all the way. And of course, the famous one's King Saul. King Saul, remember Samuel told him to destroy all the Amalekites and all of the possessions, hence the little word all, A-L-L. But Saul, what did he do? He spared just a few of the best of the Amalekites and the best of their stuff. 1 Samuel 15:20 was where it goes down. He says, Samuel, or Saul's claiming here, "But I did obey the Lord." That's how he starts. How many of you done that? "I'm doing what God told me. What are you talking about? Oh, come on. I mean, hey, God, I did what you told me to do." Saul insisted, "I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else." Okay, always you're in trouble when you're talking to God and there's the word "but" in there. "I did everything you said, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought the best of the sheep and the cattle to plunder, but to sacrifice to the Lord." We just brought it back to sacrifice to you, to the Lord. That's the only reason we didn't kill all the animals like he told us. Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of the rams. Throughout this whole story, as we venture into here, I want you to notice the message of Moses never changes. "Let my people go." And he would become more bold. He would become overtly obedient. That's what's supposed to be happening in our lives. As time goes along, people should be looking at you and it's like, that guy is just growing in the Lord. That guy is becoming more and more mature. That guy has it going on. He is really a faithful servant of God. I've shared this with you before, gentlemen, and I have to do this even though there's ladies present. Okay, all you ladies, plug your ears. Okay. Yeah, some of you, okay. Christian women dig godly men. Now, if you're going to be a godly wimp, why would they want to date you? And why would God want them to date you? So you need to quit ye like men. Be a man. Stand up and be the man God wants you to be. Or why would God give you one of his female children? It's like, "Well, I don't know. Where's my girl? Everyone's got a girl. I ain't got a girl." I have an idea. Why don't you be a man first? Now, be honest, and I'm not saying that I'm just such a great example, because I'm not. But let me tell you something. I had 30 years behind me, 30 years of marriage. And I can tell you one thing. I know my wife would not still be loving me and being a supportive and with me as much as she is if I hadn't been the man God called me to be. And that's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. And that's the story with Moses here tonight. It's hard. It doesn't mean things are going to go your way or everything's going to be fair. Because let me tell you something. Life ain't fair. And everything isn't going to be cool. And you're just going to be rich and famous. And life will just be a breeze and be just like in the movies. Suck it up and be a man. And you could be as ugly just as a muddy barn, gentlemen, but if you're a godly guy, I don't know, chicks just dig that. I don't know, all of a sudden, these girls who are way too good looking for you, they're with you. I could give examples in this cup, but I won't. No, I mean, let me tell you something. It's not about how burly you are, how handsome you are, how much money you got. Let me tell you, if you want a Christian woman, it's how godly you are. You can find that out the hard way. You can take some advice from me. So here, Saul, he didn't obey. Moses, he knew what this was like. He was going to obey God all the way. Verse 22. Let me finish up here. But again, the magicians of Egypt used their secret arts. They turned the water into blood, so Pharaoh's heart remained hard and stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. Imagine that. God knew what was going to happen. Verse 23, Pharaoh returned to his palace, put the whole thing out of his mind. And then the Egyptians dug wells along the riverbank to get some drinking water, for they couldn't drink from the river. An entire week passed from the time the Lord turned to the water into the Nile into blood. So again, Pharaoh remained unmoved. He's like, I don't care. So he turned all the water into blood. He wanted to believe so bad at the imitation instead of the real thing. Well, you know, my guys, I can do that. I mean, our flesh really wants to do that, don't we? We so often want to believe what I would call the secondary manifest, the knockoff of God. I'm not going to go down that road any further tonight, just to say that there is plenty of knockoffs out there, and you got to decide what's the real thing, man, because they both can't be. I'm not looking as a church to get on the bandwagon to some sort of this hyper-ecumenical group spirit, because the fact is there are plenty of fellowships out there that believe absolutely contrary to the Word of God. So I cannot fellowship with them. The Bible tells me I cannot. That doesn't mean we're the only one happening. We're the only one righteous. Or we're going to get the Elijah syndrome in the cave. Oh, we're the only ones left, Lord. I have never, ever said that from this pulpit. But I will tell you that it is few and far between. I absolutely will admit that. It's hard to find churches these days that will hold to the Word of God. Is your church, is your doctrine, your friends, your life the real thing tonight? Moses would indeed man up. He would do the right thing. But Pharaoh, he would continue to follow the fake. He would do it simply because the real thing, and here's the bottom line, the real thing just costs too much. Well, man, if I really suck up and say, yep, you're right, that's truth. If I do that, I'm going to lose some friends. Listen, immature believer, you are going to lose some friends. Absolutely promise you that. There's no way around it. If you're going to walk close to the Lord and adhere to His truth, absolutely, it's going to cost you. That's why He calls you. He sees it coming. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. He says, I've come to cause division between mother and daughter, father and son, between family members, between friends. It's going to happen. Being a Christian is expensive. Going to church is not expensive. That's easy. You can go to church. Now, in closing here, 12 times, God is going to call upon Moses and call upon Aaron to step out. 12 times, they're going to answer that call. And 12 times, well, at least 11 of them, Pharaoh said no. Have you ever been in that situation? I'm doing the right thing, and I get bit. I do the right thing, I get bit. Do the right thing, I get bit. And it just happens over and over. You just get this thought, what's the point? They're just going to bite me. They're just going to say no. Like Pharaoh, he's hardened his heart. Forget it. What's the point? You know, can I just send Pharaoh a fax? I mean, it's not going to change anything. He's going to say no. But in the end, he said yes, not because he wanted to, because God said, I'm breaking you. You will say yes. Twelve times. And out, not just an act of obedience, guys, but a heart of obedience. And I think that's what really separates the sheep from the goats tonight. The only way to experience all of God is to obey all of God. You want a little bit of God? You can dabble with God. Many of us spend our life just dabbling with God. But there are some people who man up and step up to be a dynamic disciple of God. And they said, no matter the cost, I will obey. No matter the cost, the word is the end of every decision. Ladies, some of you are dynamic servants of God. I mean, I envy you, so many of you in your youth, because you have a realization that I didn't have till I was 30. I'd love to have my 20s back to get out there and do some stuff when everything still moved like it does for you, you know? You don't get winded. And God will show you such great things, and you will have such wonderful experiences, and you can have a dynamic marriage, a fantastic marriage. Parenting, job. Listen, if God can fulfill this guy and bring such peace in me in Wisconsin, of all places, I've come to truly believe that when you're walking in God and you're embracing His Spirit and you're being obedient to what He has, it doesn't matter anymore, because He just fulfills you in so many other ways. But halfway will never do it. It wouldn't have worked for Moses, and it won't work for us. Okay? Let's stand, guys. We'll close.